You are listening to PesticideTruths.com.
We're taking just a break for a few moments from our conversation with Tom Philpott and Paul Thomas to find out about a success story in the world of fighting against pesticides. Ontario, Canada managed to ban home cosmetic use of all pesticides, and in fact, a great deal of commercial use of what they call cosmetic pesticides as well, including one pesticide that is one of the active ingredients in Agent Orange. You may not even know that that's approved for use, but it was used both in Ontario and is still used here in the U.S. So how do you get that kind of regulation passed? We are going to spend a few minutes here with Gideon Foreman. He's executive director of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment. And Mr. Foreman, we'd like to hear the secret of your success.
Delighted to share it with you. One of the key things that we did, Angie, was we partnered with major health organizations in Canada. We never work on our own, our physicians group. We always work with our health partners. So we brought in the Canadian Cancer Society. We brought in the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. We worked with the David Suzuki Foundation. And as a little coalition of health groups, we met with government to talk to them about the health impacts of pesticides and why a ban was the way to go.
And, you know, we've been talking already with Tom and with Paul about the huge pull and influence and money of the big six pesticide companies. I don't know how it works in Canada. I'm in California, and of course, we're a very active political state. Right now, for example, we're in a battle with the tobacco companies to pass another cigarette tax, and the money that they're able to spend absolutely dwarfs what those who are trying to prevent cancer can put in. How comparable are those two situations to what you were facing?
Well, I think you're exactly right. First of all, I hope you win that battle to bring in that extra tax. It's crucial that we tax those companies and eventually stop them from selling tobacco. But that's a whole other story. But the influence of industry money in Canada is enormous as well. And the industry, both the lawn care industry and the chemical industry, fought this ban in Ontario tooth and nail right to the end. They threw everything they possibly could at it. They tried to take cities to court. They threatened activists. They did just about everything they possibly could to stop it.
And what about the homeowners? I know that a lot of people are very married to this image of a perfect lawn.
Yeah, I mean, we one of the things we did is we commissioned scientific polling with a third-party pollster. So we asked people about do they support a pesticide ban or not. And the polling consistently showed, Angie, that about 70% of Ontario residents supported a ban on pesticides. So we very much had the public with us. There were a few people who, you know, believed they could only have the perfect lawn if they use these poisonous chemicals. But the vast majority of Ontario residents realized they could have a nice home, a nice property without using these toxic chemicals to threaten people's health. So for the most part, the public was on side. And as I mentioned, all the big health organizations were on side. And so when you have that combination of public support and health organizations, it's a very powerful advocacy group to sway government.
You know, you're in an interesting position in terms of how we're putting the show together this week, because I've just recorded a show that our audience will be hearing in the next hour, and that's with the documentary filmmaker behind Hot Coffee. One of the issues about her documentary with tort reform and with arbitration problems, et cetera, is how powerful messaging is. And when you have moneyed interests, they can put together messages that sound as though they are by all means benefiting the consumer. And then, of course, whoever's fighting against them has to untwist that message and inject some reality. How much of that went on in the fight in Ontario?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. The industry really did twist things. You know, the industry suggested the only way you can have a healthy lawn is by using these toxic chemicals. They talked about the value of greenery around a home. And of course, that's true. It is useful to have greenery and trees and plants and shrubs around your home. But they made it sound as if the only way to have that was through these toxic chemicals. And of course, they used a tactic that they use all over the world, which was to disparage the science. They said, you know, there's no conclusive science linking pesticides to human illness. And so we had to keep coming back again and again to the fact that there really is a lot of science linking pesticides to some very scary human health effects, including cancer and birth defects and neurological illnesses like Parkinson's disease. But you're exactly right. The industry again and again came up with this messaging that on the surface is very persuasive. I think, frankly, we were able to do a better job ultimately on the messaging, and that's because we came back to children's health. Again and again, we said, you know, these chemicals chemicals threaten our kids. And that was really a message that got through to government, certainly here in Ontario. I can tell you we met many times with the Minister of Environment here in Ontario, and he was very much persuaded by this. And I think finally what got through to him was the message that it wasn't worth taking the risk, that there were safe alternative ways, non-toxic ways for people to have a beautiful property. We didn't need to risk their health and particularly kids' health by using these poisons.
I'm talking to Gideon Foreman. He is the executive director of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment. His organization was key to the passage of a proposition, and I guess I'm speaking Californian, aren't I, of a legislation that made it illegal to sell or apply pesticides for cosmetic lawn care in Ontario, California. And that's been in effect, Gideon, since April 2009, and the early returns are very encouraging. In fact, within a year, they were starting to see a decline. Those who were following this started to see a decline in the water, the levels of pesticides in the water, and measurable improvements almost right away. Is it an important part of the messaging to keep telling people about that?
Yeah, it was quite incredible, Angie. The Ministry of Environment here in Ontario looked at concentrations of pesticides, including 2,4-D, before the ban came into effect, that is in 2008, and after it came into effect in 2009. They compared concentrations of these toxic chemicals in urban streams. They looked at about 10 urban streams across Ontario, and they found some dramatic changes. After the ban came into effect, there were drops, there were reductions in some of these pesticides, up to 94-97% even in common lawn care pesticides like 2,4-D and another one called dicamba. So it was really quite extraordinary after this ban came in just how quickly and how dramatically the concentrations of these toxic chemicals dropped. And I think it suggests that these bans are effective and they could be used in other places, including California. They would have quite dramatic results in short order.
What about enforcement? I mean, I'm sure that there was the specter raised of people spying on you in your homes and seeing what you're using and slapping you down. How does that actually play out?
Absolutely. The industry raised all these horror stories that they cooked up. You know, people will be spraying pesticides in the middle of the night and all this nonsense. What the polling showed, Angie, was that the broad sweep of the public in our province supported these bans. As I said, over 70%. When you have that kind of buy-in from people, when people want a piece of legislation, enforcement is not a problem. The province had to do a little bit of enforcement. There were a couple of people here and there fined and a couple of businesses. But for the most part, people wanted this legislation, so they followed it. And the industry, I must say to their credit, eventually did come around. The lawn care companies, lo and behold, were able to use the non-toxic products, the permitted products. And so enforcement really has not been a problem here in Ontario. And so what we're seeing is what we hoped for. People still have beautiful properties, but they're using non-toxic methods to keep them weed-free.
Gideon Foreman, congratulations on a job well done, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you. It was very much a collaboration with many groups, but thank you. We were happy to play a part.
And you'll find his organization online at www.cape.
Dirty bit.